So it's good that we are not recording the YouTube thing, you know, because we both in pajamas. It wouldn't be really the best thing ever. Like for me, just going for like 10 minute or 15 minute, you know, short basketball, just shooting the hoops. It's just so much fun. It's just so much fun. Like it's like being, you know, a kid again. I missed it. It's addictive. You just open it up and close it. Open. It's so much fun.
The future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed.
Whoa, OMG, this just works.
Yeah.
And then when you show it to other people, they're like, OMG. And they're like, yeah, duh, right? So
yeah.
Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Radek.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read and want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day, working on our app, Nosby.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
I really like to say The Podcast. Mm-hmm. All right.
That was an awkward moment of silence because I was going to keep talking after this, but I was the person saying the last line of the intro.
These confusing moments. All right. So what do we have in store for today?
So I have a little topic I wanted to discuss. I remembered many episodes back, I think episode 88, we talked about our headphones, the Bose QC35.
Yes.
And how much we love them, that they're so comfortable and noise cancelling and wireless and like they're awesome and great. Turns out they spy on you too, but that's another story.
Yeah, this is outrageous. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but putting that aside.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, in my review, I guess, I described all sorts of benefits and features of these and in talking how much I love them. But I neglected to mention one, I guess, intangible feature of these headphones, which is that this is one of the pieces of hardware that make me feel like I'm living in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just before we continue the conversation, if you own Bose headphones, please uninstall the app, Bose Connect thing, because this is the spying part. So please uninstall this from your iPhone, iDevice, whatever. Just saying. Like, we won't be discussing this more, but because it's it's a different topic. But just remove the app from your smartphone.
Yes,
you can rename your headphones. I have. We both renamed our headphones, but then remove the app, and that's it. So it won't spy on you. All right. And especially now that I got my AirPods finally, mm-hmm. like finally, it feels really strange to be living in to be using them so wirelessly. Just one, you know, they look ridiculous and they feel ridiculous and they are lacking the cord like the normal headphones would do, and yeah, they kind of make you feel like you're living in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this phrase, the future is already here, it's just not evenly distributed.
Yeah, this is so right.
And I feel like it applies to a lot of the things we do, a lot of the things about our work at Nosby and our lifestyle, mine and yours, and also the hardware, which is why I thought it was a cool topic to discuss. And the thing about living in the future today is that it's like... It's just a glimpse into the future, but it's an imperfect representation of the future. There's a lot of things that when this is available for everyone and everyone can experience the future, it's going to be better. But right now, like, you have these AirPods and, you know, I hear a lot on Twitter about, you know, sometimes they're annoying, they're buggy, like sometimes they have glitches and the battery doesn't last that long. And, you know, all sorts of things like that. Living in the future is hard. But I guess when, maybe especially if you work in technology as we do, there's something very satisfying on some level to feel like you get to experience something before others that that other people don't get it. Like other people laugh at you for having this ridiculous looking headphones, but you're experiencing something that's perhaps part of the future, something that's going to be normal and much better, and others don't get it yet, but you do.
Yeah, I remember I'm a car geek and I'm a car fanatic, and one of our like modus operandi was watching Top Gear as like our favorite car show, and I remember one of the Top Gears I don't know how many years ago, but there was the new Mercedes S-Class announced, and the Jeremy Clarkson on the Top Gear was saying, so the new Mercedes S-Class has been announced, and knowing the history of Mercedes S-Classes, it was the car that that brought you this, like the airbag, you know, all these new advances. And he was saying, so let's review the new S-Class because this is how cars will be in 10 years. So let's see how the future will look like. So I apart from, you know, if the S-Class is so modern or whatever, it's a beyond discussion. But I like this approach, you know, let's look at this car now. So we'll see how the cars will look like in 10 years. and when I recall the episode, he was right. I mean, for example, it was, I don't know which year was, 2003 or 2000, I don't know, it was years ago, but it was the car that featured, for example, the adaptive cruise control, when the cruise control when you put the car, you know, on the speed, and it just monitors the car in front of you, so when the car in front of you slows down, your car slows down automatically, and like things like that. So so it was really, really cool.
And today in the car world, Tesla would probably be this glimpse of the future. Or not owning a car at all and driving with an Uber is a glimpse into the future.
Exactly. Yeah. These kind of things. Yeah. The other day I was, for example, not only Tesla, but the modern car makers are trying to follow Tesla. And for example, the Volkswagen cars, they have the lane assist, which is like the car watches the lanes, right? So it's ridiculous. You're driving on a highway. Like 100 kilometers per hour, and it's engaged lane assist. You and there is a curve. You know, the car you're supposed to steer, but you just let go the steering wheel, and you see the steering wheel steering by itself, and you're like, what did just happen, right? So so the car is steering by itself. It's not totally autonomous like the Tesla, but it's also getting there. But But once you like try this in a modern car, and you go back to a traditional car that does not have it, it's like, you know, I was in the future. Now I'm back in the present.
Yeah, but living in the future, I think with cars especially, must be very exhausting. I mean, having a Tesla as your only car is a bit of a pain in the butt. I mean, you have to, like, if you want to go on a larger trip, like, you have to pre-plan it, like, where are the charging stations, where I'm going to charge, how much time I need to charge. Like, there's a lot of things about it which are just annoying, but that's kind of the price you pay for being an early adopter and seeing the future before others, because the other things are great too. It's just like some of the things are not quite in the future yet.
I mean, just think about it. When the new iPhone was announced, the iPhone 7 without headphone jack. I'm not saying it was a good decision. What I'm just saying is that for a person, for example, like my wife, she said, "No, I'm not getting this. I need the headphone jack because I need it for this or that or whatever." And for me, like as a person who loves being on the bleeding edge, being in the future, there was a no-brainer to get the newest thing, you know. I would what I'm saying is that it's not about the headphone jack, it's about the fact that I was prepared to endure, as you said, endure some of the inconvenience of of having something taken away to get something new, right? To see something new, so to get the newest model. So that's the kind of approach, right?
Yeah, well, with the iPhone, I seriously don't think it was a good decision. I had so, like, it's true. It pushed me over the edge to finally get wireless headphones. And most of the time, there's that. But I've had so many situations where I was like, shit, I can't do X because I didn't bring my stupid adapter.
Living in the future, man.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's an iPhone 7. It's a prug for everyone. So to me, that one's annoying. But on the other hand, something that a lot of people think is very much, you know, is the same kind of thing, is the new MacBook Pro, which only has USB-C ports and a headphones jack. and that to me, I don't have a problem with. Like here, I have the exact same feeling you do. It is inconvenient to have all sorts of new cables and adapters for this USB-C thing. But unlike the iPhone, because it's not as mobile, it's not a thing that just spontaneously, you know, situations arise in which I'm stuck because I don't have an adapter. Like those don't exist. Like it's a Mac. Like it's when I bring it with me somewhere, I'm more prepared. But the thing is, like here, to me, that this price to pay is perfectly acceptable because I get to feel what it's like to live in the future. And I mean, it's just a port. It's a silly thing, but it's such a good port. Like, it's so much better. So this I can endure.
Yeah, but as you said, the attitude, you know, that you know, people have, and as you said, not evenly distributed because some people live in the past. Just yesterday. So I learned that in Poland, where we come from and where we live and where I'm now, you can use your mobile phone practically to buy anything, and we don't have Apple Pay, which blows. But apart from that, for example, we have these apps to buy tickets to, you know, public transport, to park the car, you know, and all these things. So, for example, today, as my Friday TGIF task, I will install this on my parents' phones and explain to them how this works. Because this is amazing. Like, I'm going to the city center. I have to park the car. I park the car. I press the button on my phone. I park the car and then I leave. And then people who check if I paid for the parking know that this car is registered with the service and that it's actually currently being paid for and it's fine. And then yesterday I had to use the public transport to get back to my parents' place. And I was taking the train. And just before entering the train, I would just push a button on my phone saying, I have a ticket from here to there. Thank you very much. Like I didn't have to stay in line, you know, get a ticket, you know, see if I have loose change or whatever, like all these things. And still for many people, this would be so advanced, but it's already here. Like, I don't need to do all these, you know, stupid things that I used to do. I have my phone and with my phone, I can do these, you know, things.
Yeah, I actually did a similar thing lately, because I didn't use public transportation much here because I live close to the center. It's not a big city. I usually just use my bicycle, but I've been using public transportation a bit more lately. And before, I would just like have to remember to bring coins, and I hate coins.
Yeah, nobody likes coins.
Yeah, but I don't own a wallet, so it's particularly annoying. That also feels like the future. Like, why would you have a wallet?
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah, you just stick your ID and credit card on the back of your iPhone. It's fine. But anyway, like that will be my last use for those stupid coins. But I finally, you know, I'm finally living in 2014 and got this app, and I just step on the bus or a tram and press a few buttons and it's fine, right? But the difference is that there's fewer disadvantages. I mean, like, unlike having all sorts of you know, all these devices that you have to charge all the time, or having a Tesla, like it already just works. It's just not everybody appreciates that you can just do it, that it's already here, right?
Yeah, I mean, just like, just the other day, I was talking to my friends that they should visit us, and they were like, yeah, but we need to buy these plane tickets, and, you know, it's so much time to buy the plane tickets. I'm like, no, it's not. I pull up my iPhone, the Ryanair app, and I just pushed a few buttons. I'm like, okay, just fill in the details and it's done. And they're like, okay, let's do it. And, you know, in 5 minutes we had the planes, you know, plane tickets, you know, ordered, and everything was fine, and the confirmation in the email, whatever. Like, when you start living in the future and you endure the first problems and obstacles and things that don't work, but then they suddenly start working, you're like, oh my gosh.
It feels so good.
It feels so great. You're like, whoa, OMG, this just works.
Yeah.
And then when you show it to other people, they're like, OMG. And they're like, yeah, duh, right?
So
very quickly you become accustomed that it just works. But for other people, it's the first discovery like it was for you before, right? So I like to see I like seeing these reactions. I like seeing when people just, oh, really? It was, no, it can't be so easy, right?
Yeah,
I just did, man.
Or speaking more of hardware, one thing that's definitely this living in the future thing is the Apple Watch, especially at the beginning. Like the first version, it was so useless. It was so slow and buggy and annoying. Like there was no reason for any normal person to own it. But yet we did. And you know, despite all the annoyances, it was kind of cool because you realize that. In one version of another, this is probably going to be a thing in the future, and you get to experience it, you know, years before others. Now it's been 2 years since Apple Watch first shipped, and it's still kind of, you know, sometimes slow, sometimes annoying, sometimes useless, but it's way, way better already, and it's still something that's the future. It's still something other people don't get. I mean, just last week I had two situations where one person kind of laughed at me for having a smartwatch, and another situation was someone was like, oh man, it's so cold, and I was like, oh wow, 3 degrees, it's really cold, I didn't think it's this cold. And she was like, where did you get the temperature from?
Duh.
It's like, well, duh. But it's like, you know, it's kind of cool because you realize that this technology is going to be more widespread again. Maybe in some slightly other form, but it's just going to be a thing. And I've already experienced how it is to have this little device that's, you know, not super useful, but it is useful for 2 years, right? And it's already obvious to me, obvious to the point that I sometimes forget about all the like small bits of utility it brings me.
So just the other day, I was demoing my Apple Watch because they saw it on my wrist and on my wife's wrist, and they asked if we really use it. And I'm like, of course we do. Like, it's normal. And we did a few tricks. Like I talked to Siri, she gave me some answers to some questions. And then also I explained that for me, it's crucial that my wife wears her watch, because then when I call her, she actually picks up the phone because her wrist vibrates. And speaking of Apple Watch, the Overcast app just announced that you can buffer an entire podcast episode. So for you listeners, there is no excuse for not listening to the podcast, because you can buffer it to your Apple Watch and listen. So right now with my AirPods, I can just go running with my AirPods and my Apple Watch, and that's it. And I can listen to a podcast and have, you know, all the GPS information, everything else. So I don't really need my gigantic phone on my arm anymore. So this is really cool. I'm just waiting for Audible to do the same, and then I'm going to be so happy. But, you know, at least the podcast right now, perfect thing.
Yeah. Okay, but let's move forward. The hardware part is nice, but I think the more interesting thing is that the way we work too is like living in the future. I mean, we work remotely. We work from home. We're spread across Europe. Last week you were, or not last week, but 2 weeks ago you were at your home in Spain. Today you're in Gdynia in Poland, right? Next week I'm traveling to three different cities, and no one cares, right? We collaborate with tools like Nosby, Slack, GitHub, etc. We talked about those. We collaborate mostly asynchronously, and all of this just works, and it works beautifully. But most people don't even realize this is possible, or that this could work, or that this works well. But we do know it, right? It might not be something everyone will do in the future, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people will do it in the future. And we are seeing this, like, considering the pace of progress, what, a decade in advance, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm regularly talking to customers of our Nosby business line, so where people are, you know, ordering for more than 10 people, you know, a Nosby account. So I'm scheduling calls with these, and I really enjoy talking to these customers because they start using Nosby in their company, and when we analyze how they use Nosby or how they could use Nosby or, you know, how their business looks like, it's so funny that, you know, something that, which is so obvious to me, for them is like, whoa, we can do that. Whoa, we can work like that. Whoa. There's so many things that they're discovering while using our application, but not about our application, but about the way they could work and the way, you know, the work can be done. And so something that is so obvious for us because we've been doing this for so many years, it's still a future for many, many companies. So I applaud these companies who start Nosby Business, but there are still so many companies that can be, you know, that can be shown a new way of doing their own business, but in a different way, in a more efficient way, in a more, you know, a better lifestyle way, right? So I really like these conversations because I'm like kind of grounded again, you know. I realized that yes, as you said, we work in the future. We work in a way that more companies could work. Like we use tools, systems, and you know, ways we work that these companies could benefit from, but they don't know that yet. You know but this is obviously the way.
Yeah, and it's not just the work itself, but it's also the lifestyle it allows us.
Exactly.
It's completely normal for you to just go out in the middle of the day for 2 hours to go for a run, right? And then I see it on my watch. and it's fine, and I can do that too, and no one cares, right? And we can work together in different cities, and I could, you know, tomorrow I could decide to move to another city and still work for the same company, right? Like the lifestyle it allows us is unavailable to most people, but technology is changing the nature of work, being that work is the thing you do and not the place you go, such that it might be available for everyone, right? And it's already available for us. Like you don't have to be. I remember you told on this show some time ago a story about you going to your daughter's school or whatever, and
yeah,
and it's like, oh, you're the CEO, so of course you can do that, right? But it's not just you. Like, you don't have to be someone important or rich. Exactly. Or whatever to do that. Like, with technology available to us now, you know, working remotely, working asynchronously, It can be available to anyone, and most people don't realize that yet. But again, we do.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not only about the technology, but people have to change their mindset, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, approach to work, approach to trust. I just had a discussion, I had a meeting here, and I had a discussion about this, that especially in our country, because we've been through tough times and stuff in the past, very very often we assume that people are going to cheat us or deceive us, you know, they're going to be bad to us, while the contrary is true. Usually people are good, and most people are good. Most people don't want to cheat you. Most people want to be, you know, want to have a good relationship with you, right? Yeah. But it requires like years of experience to change this mindset, to start approaching people, you know, you're going to be a nice person to me. I'm going to assume that flat out. I might get burned a few times, but it's going to be a few times out of, you know, many times. And it's the same approaching the work and like no office kind of work and this way that you can work from anywhere. It's the same thing. People need really time to start, you know, to start pushing the boundaries, to start, you know, working one day from home and seeing it doesn't affect them, you know, or seeing how it affects their lifestyle, but it still doesn't affect their performance. And they just need time. This is a psychological thing. This is, and any the technology And hopefully our preaching and books and things like that will help us, will help others to push the boundary. But it still requires time because it's the mindset that people have to change.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. And it's so much harder to change than technology. Like it's exactly. Easy to talk about living in the future in terms of technology because you realize just how fast technology progresses most of the time. But the mindset is harder. And I guess another thing related to that that feels like living in the future to me is our approach to learning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, audiobooks, I know they're not new. I know they've been around for a very long time. And I know they don't work for everyone. But to me, it still feels like living in the future because they're not well known. So people don't realize they can do that, right? And I can, you know, in between my remote work, I can go out for 2 hours if I feel like going for a walk and put on my noise-canceling headphones and do some learning and listen to a book. And that's just great, right? And it works so well. And then another thing is I choose not to go to college. And that's partly due to my personality and partly due to my circumstance. You know, the fact that I already had a job, and as a programmer, it's a field where very few people care about a degree. But it's also because just this... this realization that I don't need a university to keep learning, and that's not exactly new, but now more than ever, knowledge is available to anyone seeking it, right? I don't need a huge library to find books, like rare books about exactly what I want. I can just get it on Amazon or Audible in 5 seconds, right? There's so much information freely available on the web and in text form, audio, video. There's, you know, Khan Academy and Lynda and etc. And instead of conforming to someone's curriculum, I can optimize my learning to my pace, my needs, my prior knowledge, my time, my schedule, and it actually works, right? And I've learned so much over the last few years, despite the fact that I did not go to college, right? And that's books, that's audiobooks, that's a lot of things on the web. And now another thing over the last, I guess, half a year was the Fridays, the TGIF policy that we've discussed on the show, the fact that I can spend most of the day at work, you know, still be paid for it, but have this space where I can just spend the whole day learning a new programming skill or reading a programming book, as I'm doing right now. It's just great, right? And it feels like living in the future because it's tailored to me. It's not someone else giving me the same thing they're giving to all the students. It's learning that's just for me. And this level of personalization is really futuristic.
Yeah. So just to everyone listening, I did try to convince you to go to college anyway.
It's true.
Because I hired you when you were in high school. So the thing is, I remember when I went to college, a friend of mine who was who already had a company when he was 1 year younger. He is 1 year younger, and he had a company, and he had a very successful internet company, and he's been my mentor ever since, and he's 1 year younger than me. And he went to the same college as me. And after 1 year, he dropped out and he told me pretty much what you just said here on the show. He showed me a whole pile of books from Amazon that he bought. And he said, this is my university. I don't care about the other one. And he pointed at his company and his fast growing company. And he said, and this is my other university. So I'm learning here more than I could ever learn at the university. So I'm not going to. Right, and his name is Simon Grabowski. He's the founder of GetResponse, and I remember back then I didn't understand it so well. I was, and anyway, I still appreciate my college degrees and the time I spent there. I had, you know, fantastic time. So like for my personality, it was a great time anyway. But of course, I was learning while I was studying, I was learning other things as well. So I was learning programming and other things and marketing and, you know, all these skills that I needed to launch Nozbe. But now that you say what you say, is like really in some of these, like when we hired you and when we hired other programmers, we don't, I mean, we look at the college degree, but we don't really care about it. What we care about is how good of a programmer you are, right? So we appreciate more your skills than your degree, right? In many cases, I really don't remember which kind of degrees people hold or don't. So that's true. But as you said, now the knowledge is everywhere and you can learn pretty fast. And when you read books that we recommend here on this show, you can read, learn pretty fast and pretty well. And it, as you said, it's tailored to you. The times are changing. Still, the perception of people, you know, that you need a college degree for something or, you know, it's there. What technology and knowledge gives us is just amazing right now, and the skills we can acquire pretty quickly, compared to the unfortunately very outdated curriculum on the universities.
Sorry.
And also, I don't want to rant on universities because you know there is a big rant.
Let's leave that on another show.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a long rant.
Because I'm just getting started. So let's just forget about that. But yeah, you're totally right. You can learn so much right now. And for me, going running in the middle of the day is I'm going reading. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going reading.
It's beautiful.
While I'm running, right? just right now, I'm reading a fantastic book, and this feeling that you're, I was traveling in the public transport, listening to this book, and I was like, wow, this is such a good read. And people around me don't realize that I'm right now having so much good time reading this great book, right?
So, you're having such an experience right now.
Yeah.
They can't share it. Yeah, it's beautiful. No, but I wanted to say one thing about the university that people still don't really get it. That's another example of this disadvantage of living in the future instead of the present. Like just like with your Tesla, it's annoying because you have to figure out how to charge it. Like if you don't go to university and do it like completely consciously, you still suffer the disadvantage of some people. Won't treat you seriously. Some companies won't hire you, and you know there's other aspects of your university that you have to compensate for. So, for example, it might not be tailored to you, but one argument. No, I don't think it's valid, but one could argue that on the other hand, you get this. This wide range of different skills, right? And it's shown to you that this is what you need. If you don't have a university, you have to figure out on your own, like which parts do you actually need, even if you don't realize at first. Or to a lot of people, there's a social aspect, I guess, of being in college, just like in high school. And if you don't go to college, you don't have that. So you have to compensate for that and figure out something else. But that's the fascinating thing about change and living in the future. Like just as we work remotely, it's not as simple as just do the same things you've always been doing, but just do it from home. The fact that you work remotely means you have to change a lot of other things about how you structure your work. And same with changing technology, which is not just going to be better all around. It's going to be also different. Same with not going to university.
No, you're totally right. This is the thing. I remember our first discussion with Tomasz, our CTO, when I hired him, and he was a college student working, and he applied for a part-time job with my company because it was just me and I needed the help of a skilled programmer. And he told me that he applied for for this job because he wanted to work from home. And working independently from home, so whenever he needed to work or he wanted to work, and
right.
And he said that he applied to many, to a few remote jobs before, and they always told him, yeah, you can work remotely, no problem, but you have to work from 9 to 5. So, like, so it's the same thing, but it's just happening at home. So we are saving on office space and that's it. But nothing else changes. And no, it doesn't work that way. So you either change, as you said, not just the environment you work in, but also the way you work, or this is not going to work. And I told him, no, this is not how it's done here. We will figure this out. And we did. And this is how, this is why we're talking about it so much, because we really see that we have to weigh a little bit differently, and we look weird or, you know, from the outside as a company, but we don't care. Well, anyway, living in the future is hard at times, but it's rewarding and it's fun. Yes. And it's something we love doing, and hopefully we'll explore more in the future episodes.
Oh, we will. Here's to the future.
Yep.